Welcome to the Swirl and Sip podcast, where we keep it real, talking about womanhood, parenthood, and marriage. I'm your host, Sasha.
And I'm Sheree. And if this is your first time tuning in to us, this is what you need to know about us. We're wives, we're boy moms, and we love wine, though we're not experts. This is Life Uncensored.
So get your wine glasses and your favorite bottle and get ready for today's episode. So, of course, we always like to start each episode with what we are sipping on. And today we are venturing off into another red blend. We'll be honest. We got this one purely because of the way the bottle looks.
It's so pretty.
It is. It's a very beautiful bottle. And I feel like we've had this wine. Not this wine, but this brand.
I've definitely had this brand before. And yeah. I can tell you because it's at Walmart. And so I frequent, just so y'all know, I frequent the Walmarts in D.C. because it's down the street from my parents.
I haven't shopped in Walmart in years for
for a lot
of protest reasons.
You have the same reasons that I don't like to go there. However, they have wine and I don't feel like going to the liquor store.
Well, you know, in Maryland, they do not sell liquor or wine in non-liquor store establishments.
Only in a few short weeks, I will not be frequenting Walmart for wine.
But today we are drinking on 14 Hands Winery, and it is their Hot to Trot Smooth Red Blend.
I just feel like all of a sudden I think of the Roaring 20s. Like I just was like jazz hands.
So this, of course, is Sasha and Sheree approved. Y'all know that this season, but it's 13.5%. This one says that it has flavors of cherry pie, ripe berries and plums. It has refined tannins and it gives way to subtle notes of baking spice on a persistent finish, whatever the hell that means.
The hell is a baking spice? I'm sorry.
Cinnamon? Nutmeg?
Like, really? Okay. Well, I can say all the pies, the cherry stuff. I was like, I was with you until baking spice.
I like it. I don't get baking spice, but I like it. And I can tell why, just because of the blend. It's predominantly a Merlot.
Oh, it's great.
And a Syrah. It has several other varietals in smaller quantities, including a Cab Sav, a Pinot Noir, Zinfandel, Cab Franc. It's a lot of blends. This is a lot of blends.
I was going to say, you like the, I like the Syrah part of it. You like the Merlot. So
it pairs well with pork chops, beef stew, meatloaf, and lasagna. I definitely see that because it is, it's definitely a heartier.
Yeah,
wine.
It is.
Are you yawning?
It definitely is. Yes, I did. Okay, look. Been a day. I was out in the heat. It is good.
It says it's from the Columbia Valley. This one, the PDF fact sheet. So if you don't know, when I look at wines, y'all, I literally am looking them up as we record. And most of the time I drink it like for the first time as we're recording. And so some websites go really in depth in their wine. Mm-hmm. And other ones is just like basic flavor profile.
Some of them are just like, this is our wine, drink it. And then others are like, let me tell you how these grapes were grown. We spoke to them. We whispered sweet nothings over them as they grew. Like, okay, looks a little lot.
And so some of them actually have like PDFs for all of their wines that have like a lot of information. And this one is one of them. So this is actually a 2016 blend. It says that it experienced the best of both worlds because it had a hot spring and an early summer. A cooler than normal end of the ripening season allowed the wines to have ripeness but maintain their freshness. And I guess overall 2016 was a favorable growing condition. So the wines had nice tannins.
They spoke positive affirmations over these grapes. These grapes were going to be wonderful. You are something.
They said it really does. So it includes Merlot and Syrah that were gently destemmed and fermented for approximately 7 days. Aging took place in a stainless steel tanks and neutral French and American oak for over 10 months. Preserve fresh fruit flavors and further soften the wine. The final blend was assembled just weeks prior to bottling. So,
I have never wanted to know less about wine. Like, they give you everything. I'm telling you. Like, I was like, I mean, I appreciate to know the growing season, though, because it's like, these were great conditions. I like to know the process, because I think that's the one part that I want to learn more about. Yeah. But yeah. I'm like, oh Lord.
I feel like that's going to stick in the back of my head. And that if I ever see any other 2016 blends that come from the Columbia Valley, I'm going to be like, oh, those are like smooth wines that have.
Those are a really good blend.
Good growing season.
Good growing season. But that's literally what a sommelier is. A sommelier is just be like, we'll be able to pick that out from this year. This was a good, like when we used to, I used to call it bullshit, because I was like, there's no way you're able to like be like, the 1991 season was wonderful. How the fuck do you know that?
So I don't
but
know.
But now I get it.
I get it if you like read and everything like that. Because I think we talked about this way back. Mm-hmm. There's a whole Netflix show or movie.
Oh, yeah.
That was about a Black Solomon Ye.
I haven't seen it yet, but
it's
yeah.
It's really good. It's really good. But one of the things that they're taught to do, which I don't understand how they can do, is to be able to know all of that shit by tasting the wine. Like no bottle in front of them. Like they literally can drink the wine and say, this is a 2016, 17. And it's from whatever region. And that was this kind of blend. And it was this kind of season just from tasting it. That's like what they.
I don't even know if my tongue is never going to be that sophisticated.
I don't think I would want to. I feel like it would take the fun out of drinking wine.
It would take the fun out of eating. Okay, yeah, let me be clear. Like if you're able to do that with a glass of wine, I don't want to cook for that person, because I already know that that means that your palate and your taste buds. Oh no. This is when someone's like, you know what? That was just a hint too much paprika.
I feel like they can enjoy wine, but they're also probably super critical of it.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just want a boxed wine that is like cheap and good. Like
I was gonna say, like, I'm like, I just want, like, I was just thinking about it and I realized that there's a brand that we have not tried that is definitely Sasha approved. Huh?
Big Black Box.
Black Box is one. Barefoot.
We have not tried Barefoot.
And I want you to understand that I didn't realize until I looked at the little box the other day and I said, oh, we've been tripping. Like, we've been struggling to look for wine.
My mother-in-law drinks the Black Box wine, mm-hmm. and it's good wine.
It's very good. I've had it before.
Don't hate on Black Box wine,
y'all. Don't think that just because you see it in, like, don't think that box wine or that, like, you know, the brands that we call, that we remember and recall from our youth when you were just learning wine are bad wines. Don't think that.
There's a reason why people be drinking them.
It gets you there. Look, Sutter Home and Barefoot, it gets you right there just as much as, you know, a 19 Crimes or a Pocket.
But Sutter Home, I feel like Sutter Home and Barefoot, they're more white wines and like
they have everything. But they that's where I started my white wine journey. Mm. So yes, they are more so popular there.
Yeah.
But well, back to this is a good one.
Do you like it?
I do. I like it. I mean, it's a red blend. I don't think I've ever had a red blend that I dislike.
Yeah.
I think this one is
it's on the richer side. Like we have had a couple that were a little bit lighter.
Yeah, no, this is definitely like, I think they called it a soft red blend or something like that.
This one says smooth red.
Smooth.
Blend.
Okay. Cause I was just like, this one is all that. And I'm just like, I still taste it on my tongue. That's how I know the Merlot is there. Cause it's like, hey, I like here. But it is good. So.
You will never hear me complain about.
Yeah, I don't got no complaints. I would drink this again. I would have this again.
Yes.
Smooth.
So that's what we're drinking on. It's 14 Hands, Hot to Trot, Smooth Red Blend.
You said anything, you put a horse on the front of it for me. And
they're running. It's like
the horses are running. It's like, it looks majestic as shit. It's all of them. It's colorful.
It's
I told y'all, I'm the advertisement person. If I'm going to pick something, it's going to be pretty.
I even like how on the bottle, like the, you know, the little top. Mm-hmm. piece, it says Hot to Trot
exactly
like, around it.
I feel like that is like a great summer, like beginning of the summer wine, you know, as we get into our warm girl summer.
It is a hot mom summer.
Yes, for I'll go with that. Yes, hot mom summer, Hot to Trot wine.
Yep, there we go.
As well.
Yep, there we go. So but today's episode, what are we talking about today? We are talking about
traveling
while Black and brown.
Traveling while black and brown.
Because we weren't just going to talk about just regular travel. Like,
nah, because why would we just talk? Well, we already talked about traveling before. We talked about traveling as a couple and relationship-wise. And now we're like, okay, so let's get into that nitty-gritty of like, yo, how do you pick where you go? Because that's really what we're talking about. Like, there is an experience. Hold on. Let me see. I love TikTok because it gives you these understandings of privileges, right? So someone posed the question, if you could just pick up a plane ticket anywhere in the world, you know, like you go to the counter and they'll just give you a mysterious place and it doesn't matter where you go. You won't know until you land. Would you go? And it's like, of course, that was like where the color line broke down, because so many white people were like, that sounds amazing. And all black people were like,
There's some places
that I don't want to go.
There's some places in the US and some places around the world that I have no desire to go to.
Like, not even like the fact, and they were like, if you had a hesitancy to say that, then there's multiple things. And then the more intersections you go, the more you are. So like, if you go add in like your
a woman.
Woman, if you add in your orientation or your status of the LGBT community.
Because like just recently, I mean, Sheree and I, it's literally June 28th. This is one of the first episodes we're recording semi-timely. Like Hungary just like passed stuff about LGBTQ, like all that stuff. So you wouldn't want to go there if
exactly. So it's like there's so many things that you think about when we talk about traveling while black, you're like, or black or brown, and you're just like, what? And it's like, well, we know about driving while, you know, we have all these phrases, which basically, like, what is it when we're talking about that? Like, let's first define. We're not talking about like anything that seems out of the ordinary, but what it is that there are experiences that black and brown people experience in the world and go through, and the way that they are perceived in certain places that are not pleasurable nor sometimes safe. And that's something that we take into consideration when we're going places. Like, for example, I'll give you an example. The easiest example is we always, you know, you've heard me say that Brandon always makes fun of your town, you know, of where you live as a sundown town. But that is a real thing.
It's not.
But he makes, so we can make fun of it.
There's places like that.
He still believes it, but it's not. But there are places even to this day. Yeah. And I saw a list of the 2021 sundown towns. There are still places that are sundown towns.
They just
those people
outlawed.
Who don't know what a sundown town is.
Or they finally,
when the sun goes down, need to get
literally, out. Literally, I think it was in Oklahoma. Or Oregon, one of the two. They just literally got rid of like the bell or siren or whatever it was that would go off to let black and brown folks know it's time for you to leave. Like they just,
like we said, 2021.
Just got rid of it.
And so, I mean, and that makes a big ass difference.
The fact that
a lot of things aren't used. I mean, they still have segregation laws in Louisiana, certain places. There are still segregated schools, like legitimate segregated schools. So I'm like, we already know that, like, if we're talking about going to certain places,
me personally, Richard, my husband loves the South. Like he likes traveling to Charlotte. He really loved Charleston. I do not like going down South at all, because ever since I was in college, when I went to A&T and I would walk around the mall with a friend and just get like all of the stares. And we were both not white, but we would get stared at so much. And it was like, I don't like being, and then like we went to a wedding.
Yeah, like in a fishbowl.
Yeah. And we went to a wedding in Charlotte. And Charlotte is a very popular city. It's predominantly black city. But we went to a wedding that was out in the country. It was right after the election, the last election, not this past one. And driving through, all you see are all of these Trump signs. And I'm like, I don't want to be here. These people don't like us. And the venue was beautiful. And the wedding was predominantly black.
So similarly, I remember I recently went to Oxford.
Connecticut?
Oxford, Mississippi.
I was about to say. Y'all don't clown me because I don't know where the fuck Oxford is.
I'm sorry. She's looking. Her reaction was because my face really like was the most judgment I've ever given her. Like,
I don't know why that was the first place I thought of either.
Oxford, Mississippi.
Okay,
so where Old Miss is.
You know what I was thinking? Oxford to me means old white people in England. And in England, my mind, I thought, when it equates to Connecticut.
Like Londoners or whatever. You're like, when did you do that? So no, in last, I guess a year and a half ago, sheesh, because it was in January at the very height of the, at the top of the pen. Well, was it the, was it 6 months ago? I don't even remember anymore. Like it was in January and it was MLK weekend, but I knew, I don't remember whether it wasn't this year. I don't believe the hell.
No, it, I don't think it was. I think it was last year. I remember
it had to be last year, but at the same
time, that was with the cone.
My aunt passed away. And I went.
And I'm not, y'all, don't play me. The Sheree described him as a coon.
It was a coon. Oh, no, 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 no. He was a coon. So if for those who don't know, Oxford is like home of Ole Miss, which is University of Mississippi, white. But it was a, it's a place that my family grew up down there. My family grew up in Mississippi and New Orleans, like New Orleans. And then like right around that area, Jackson, Oxford, all that. So that's home for a lot of my family members, and like they're familiar, but driving around, going to the stores, being around there, I was like, this is so uncomfortable. They had a Confederate, like a Confederate general outside the Airbnb, beautiful home. And I was just like,
Well, that's how I felt.
It's like when I remember going out to, we went out to the little bars and we were bar hopping, and I'm looking around and I'm like, okay, a lot of white people, of course. You know, I mean, I grew up in a, we grew up in the city. So I'm like, I'm not unfamiliar. I love,
we're not unfamiliar
some,
with the white
people. I was like, I love me some, what was it? Not DuPont Circle. But yeah, DuPont Circle. Oh, I love me some white bars. Those are great. But
okay, they're fun. Yeah, they're
fun. They are. But I was just like walking around. Like I said, I saw the coon. And I have to tell y'all why I called him a coon, because he was. Because he was doing things that were coonish. Okay.
He was jiving. He was shucking and jiving.
Literally,
y'all.
I saw a video. I sent her a video because I said, what the hell is this? He's setting us back.
Yeah,
he was putting a beer bottle on his head and dancing around.
And
I was just like,
as if he was
what
a performer.
The fuck am I seeing?
Yeah.
And I said, I'm so uncomfortable even partaking in being near this because I don't need to be here.
When we went to Charleston for Rajesh's wedding,
yes.
So our podcast editor, Rajesh, he got married in Charleston. It is a beautiful city.
Beautiful place.
But you walk around and you see these little historical markers, and it's like, here is where the headquarters or like the government with capital
the Confederacy
house.
Was.
So,
yeah.
Like, and you're just like, oh, these people are racist as fuck.
Like these places definitely own slaves. Oh my gosh, even like the last thing that we would do.
Like when we went to so last in May, was this in
May?
In May, we did a live event, and it was at a winery here in Maryland, and we're hearing the owner talk
about how, like, yes, this used to be tobacco farms, and we were like,
Sheree and I are just looking at each other like, yep, they own slaves.
And the more that they said, every time they went and said, it was like these beautiful stories, and I was like, oh, you owned a lot of slaves.
Like your grandpappy definitely owned slaves.
So y'all might still have slaves. Like we was at the place where, and that was in Maryland. So I mean, like, it's just one of the things that I think about when I think about where I want to go, and I think this goes into even when I've talked about where Brandon does not have a desire to ever go. Cause you know me, I've said I want to go to like Europe. I want to basically touch as many continents and countries as I can.
Me too.
Brandon has no desire to go to Europe. He has never had a desire to go to Europe. And he basically said, he was like, what is there to show me there? Yeah. Like that is of historical importance or anything to him. And I was like,
Catholic, he should go to Vatican City.
I mean, like, I mean, no, he still, like, even if he doesn't even have that desire. I was like, I never even thought of that. Thank you.
I'm always torn with that because most of the places we've traveled internationally have been to Europe. We've been to Italy and we've been to Greece.
Mm-hmm.
I am also a big history buff though. So like Greek culture, Roman culture, like,
that's why I said it's crazy that he says that because he's a mythology person.
Oh, so yeah. And he would love it.
Like, that's why I thought, like I said, at the end of the day, even though it might not be my personal history, yeah. like it's not Africa, it's not yeah. like places that I like the yeah. islands. Because he, I think about, I love history, and well, I do believe
myself,
that.
When I, what I tell myself a lot of times, like when we were in Greece and in Rome, like those places were what they were way, way before like slavery in the sense that we think of was a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, they had slaves, like African slaves. Yeah. But those wasn't the only ones. Like pretty much if you got conquered, everybody was a slave.
Yeah. I mean, so, like they, America had their own, like America changed the game when in slavery, like we, yeah, we like so to do like, things different, but like, so no, like, but it's just like when you, think about
all that history before, like, the bad,
like when
bad
you talk about
stuff.
BC, when we yeah. talk about like the empires and yes. stuff, like those things existed, yeah. okay,
and
know,
they're still standing, which is
they're
amazing.
Still standing. So like yeah. it's just a matter of, I believe that there's no place that I will ever discount. Now here's the thing, like when we say talking about traveling while Black, there are still some places that I'm going to look at and be like okay, so for example, everyone has been on this big Abu Dhabi trip, yeah. you know, like, you know, they've been on these big kicks to
go to Dubai.
I do want to go to Dubai. I do. But here's the thing. Now, you just got to know what you're willing to go to. So, like, yeah. here's the reason I say that, because I also believe in going to a place and respecting yes. the place and culture there. Yes. And so that's another thing that I look at where, like, a lot of people may say, okay, well, I want to go. Okay, well, then you need to make sure that you actually like go and
research the culture.
Yes, research the culture and make sure that you're being respectful.
Yeah, so I looked up a couple of things before we started recording, and one of them said it was specifically for students traveling abroad, but it's kind of Black and brown students traveling abroad, but it's, I think it's applicable to anything. Mm-hmm. I think it's important when you are traveling to these other places, especially out of the country, when you're researching their culture, to understand what they think of or what they see and be ready to experience that in terms of how they relate to Black and brown people. Because the country that we live in, you see a lot of Black people a lot, right? Yeah. Unless you're in the country, you see it. A lot of mm-hmm. other countries around the world, they don't see a lot of people that don't look like them.
I was going to say, there's definitely like a lot of people who have gone to like Japan and things
yeah, and
you will, like that.
You are going
and
to stand out.
You're going to stand out, and you can, and not that you can't be offended, but do not take complete offense.
That's what
if, like someone, try not to like think that they're like, if they're like to reach up or like they might try to touch you. And the thing is, now that's not saying that you can't be like, oh,
like yeah, have boundaries.
Understand that it's not from the same place of malice and the same place of ignorance that we as Americans, especially because we're Americans and we know the long history of the fucked up things that people do. It's not the same. It's not the same because, as when you go to a place and they're like,
well, because honestly speaking, I think you get the same thing as someone who's gone to Ghana. Like they don't look at Black folks the same way as Africans. Like, and I've heard stories where people go to African countries and they don't, like, they're not treated as nicely because they're Black. If anything, they're, you know, looked down upon because they don't know where they're from.
It depends on, and the thing is, it depends on, like, I've heard about that, and I've also heard, like, the people who have, like, been welcomed open arms, where it's just like, you know, like, a welcome home. It's like, just know when you go, I always say, what is your purpose of traveling? Mm-hmm. So for me, my purpose of traveling is always to relax and learn the culture. Mm-hmm. I like to go to places and learn. I don't want to see the tourist stuff. Mm-hmm. I do, like, okay, give me the nice things, but I want you to tell me, where as a local would you go to learn this? Like, so when we went to the Virgin Islands, which is not far considering, but we went there, and for the week that we were there, we did a few of the like tourist spots. Like, we had someone who took us around the entire island, mm-hmm. and he took us to the rich parts.
Yeah.
And he was showed us about where all the celebrities gentrified the area. Mm-hmm. And then he also took us to the slums. And mm-hmm. like, we got to go to a party somewhere, like, cause we hooked up with other people who were there and had the same ideas. We went to a party. And I mean, when I tell you that, I was like, oh my gosh, I fell in love with like being around.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I like. I don't want to go to a place where it's going to charge me $1,500 to.
That's what Richard and I do.
When
we went to Greece, we walked down this random street We found like a local restaurant that people went to, and we ate there a couple of times. The thing that I always have to be prepared for whenever we go traveling, because Rich and I do travel a lot internationally, and there's no hiding him.
Yeah.
He is a 6'4" black man. 3 black man. So he stands out, and he gets a lot of looks. He gets a lot of, like, especially because in Europe, a lot of Africans are there. So they'll ask him, like, where is he from? They know that he's American. But then the questions, then they turn to me, and confusion is most of the time what happens. Because I think from my experience, granted, I haven't been to Spain yet, but I don't think Spaniards look like me. I think Spaniards look more white, like Caucasian white. And I think
when you dyed your hair, when you had your blonde hair.
Like that. But I think that Spanish people from the islands or from South America, Central America, we have a distinct look that most of the rest of the world isn't really aware of. Like, they think of Spanish people as Europeans. Mm-hmm. And so when they see someone like me, they don't know what to do with that. They know that I'm not white.
They know you're not white, and they know you're not black. And they like, she speaks Spanish, but she damn sure don't look. What are you, ma'am?
They don't know. And so it's me and my 6'3" husband, who is black as all day. So they know we're American. That much.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, there's nowhere that, like, so as an American traveling in anywhere, you're going to know you're going to be known as an American. If you're in America and you travel to another part of the country that is not, like, when I went down south, deep south, because that's what Oxford is, deep south, I can't hide that I'm from the city. The north.
You a Yankee.
Yes, I'm from the north, even though I'm not technically. I don't know.
We are below the Mason-Dixon line.
Technically, but I mean.
But we don't claim that, y'all. We don't really.
We really don't represent.
We're not the south. If you, most Maryland people will tell you this is not the south.
This is not the south. This isn't the same type of south that you think of.
No,
the south.
Like, not at all.
We are much closer to,
we are not New York, but we ain't the South.
We ain't New York, but we damn sure are not the South. Okay. We know the South when we get there.
The South starts at Virginia.
The South starts at Southern Virginia. Okay, once the metro stops
Leesburg,
out, like, when you start getting like towards what is that, King's Dominion,
past King's Dominion,
Anne Arundel, when you get to the outlets, past the outlets, now you are now entering the
that's
South.
Leesburg. Once you pass Leesburg,
exactly. See, so I'm like, but what it came down to for me in terms of traveling is I've always loved to travel, so I was never going to. It was only this year or last year, whenever I went down there, that I realized how, like, I want to go everywhere in, you know, the United States. However, like you said, the Trump countries and everything. And mind you, I think that the other part of this is that we were also doing some traveling and doing some living in a time where the world was quite, like, in my opinion, fucked up, and a lot more in your face of things that you were just like, yo. So I have my brother has a friend who, so he's white, his wife is Brazilian. And so his kids are Brazilian. Like, basically, he's the white kid that grew up with all black people. So that one. But he, of course, going around this, he went and did a cross this whole during the pandemic, or more so once things started to open up, he did a cross country trip with his family. So he has a Brazilian wife, and you know, Brazilians are basically, they look, she's not black, but she's black. She right there. Okay. She's black adjacent. And her his kids, obviously, going to the Southwest, going to the West, going to those places, like, he would get out and, you know, tattoos and things like that. So, you know, he looks urban, but,
yeah,
you know, tattoos are now, like, not a, you know, people can have a million and one tattoos.
Yeah.
He's white, though.
Yeah.
And then he would get out and he's there, his family is there. And mind you, he speaks Portuguese and, you know, things like that. And they're just like, oh. He said, as a white person able to move around this country and see, like, the amount of people who think you look like them until they see your family, and like, and then the shift and the change. He said, this is some bullshit. And that's the thing that I don't think that we will ever be able to. When we talk about traveling while Black and brown, that's the scary part for me, is that when we walk into a space, automatically there's a shift that
because you stand out,
and then there's never going to be a time where people are going to be comfortable enough to just be who they truly want to be or who they might think that they're okay with. Like, I'm Black, but I don't look like I can pass for white any day of the week.
Nope.
Sasha, you are.
I dyed my hair.
If you dyed your hair, you'd still be.
I could put some blue contacts on.
You'd still look of color though.
I would. I got a tint.
Yeah, you got too much of a tint. Even though you pale as hell and before the summer.
I got a tint.
We don't walk into any space and not look like we can just like anyone can say anything.
Yeah. And you stand out. Like that's you stand out. And I mean, going down to
New Orleans with the world open up and like we go down there and I got a mask on my face and everybody is around not. I'm like, wow, so we just got all this naked face. So we just breathing like raw dog and air right now. Y'all are raw dogging air. Oh my gosh, I can't. Why is this happening?
But that's honestly how I feel whenever we go out of town. Like I love to travel. I love experiencing new cultures, but it's always, we just stand out so much. Like it's just the going to any place. I feel me in general, I always feel like I stand out no matter where I go because the world is Black except for Puerto Rico.
I was going to say Puerto Rico is about the place for you, like right you said.
Everybody looks like me.
Exactly.
But every other place, you're either white or Black, or not surprisingly, because it's closer for them. You go to Europe, there's a lot of Asians.
Yes.
Because it's a lot closer. So you're either white, Black, or Asian. Those are easy. But someone like me, I always stand out. And so it's kind of always, I have to get like used to the uncomfortableness and like not worry about people looking at us and like, you know, what we're doing or anything like that. And luckily I have my 6'3" husband who stands like a police officer. So he commands authority no matter where he goes.
Like, he don't look like he's to be fucked with. Then you got me and my husband, who, bless his soul, let me tell you, every time we travel, my husband is, and every time we've traveled, oh, I feel so bad for him because he is always like, I don't know whether it's just because he is just real chill or really just comfortable like being around like the only, like he's always been like I'm the only guy with a group of girls, so he's always been pegged as the gay something. Oh, I felt so bad for him. We went to Atlanta and this is when I remember like, oh, I had to hold on to him because I was like, oh, we gotta make sure like you either look like a pimp or you look gay. And like for him, like he's, and I think also like we said when we're talking about the intersectionality of different things, like he's comfortable, he does not have like a whole list of prejudices and things that like, so he looks very comfortable in any space. So that is thing. Yeah, so it's like when you sit there and you think about it, I was like, oh, I feel so bad for this man because I really didn't realize that like for him, he ain't six nothing. Okay.
No,
so
for him, he's not.
He thinks he definitely believes that he's going to be 6'2". And I just have, he believes this. He does. He still believes it.
That he's going to.
Yeah. One day.
Not your son.
No. That him. We know our son's
going to be something. Pause, y'all. This little session, because I know Cyrus listens to our podcast. This ain't going to have nothing to do with what we're talking about right now. But Cyrus, you're not going, no, you stop growing at 21, dog. You're done.
He still has 6 foot dreams.
That's it. You're done.
He has 6 foot dreams. And I say, like, you know, some dreams you won't
ever achieve. Have a 6 foot attitude, but you're done, dog. You're done.
He definitely got 6 foot attitude. Like, that's the weird place where I said, see, I never have to worry because his bark and his bite is a 6 foot bark and bite. However, like I said, yes, y'all. Yes, y'all. But I say that to say that when I go places, like you said, there's things that you just automatically stick out. Now, do I ever, any place I go in the South, to be honest, like those cities that we were talking about, I don't feel uncomfortable because they do have a large Black population, but there are, it's like the rural areas. Like when we went to
I just don't want to go
anywhere. And it was a place where... in South Carolina. Let me tell you, we went to a place in South Carolina where the only hotel was in North Carolina across the city line. That's how rural we were. Mm-hmm. Like we were like where we went for a funeral. It's all funerals. I told you, that's big Southern stuff. But for someone in Brandon's family, the city was on the one side of the south, on the side of South Carolina. You had to travel to North Carolina to get a hotel. And when I tell you that that is some darkness that I've never, I said, this is like, we were walking, we were driving and we're just like, cotton fields everywhere. Cotton, cotton, more cotton, some more cotton. Is there anything other than cotton? I'm uncomfortable when I get to a place of cotton.
When we were driving to Charleston, passing through these like, off of the highway towns or whatever, and they have like all of these Mexican restaurants and things like that, and all I can think of is like, y'all people hate Spanish folks but y'all love their food. It's always just stuff like that. It's like, and I don't want to go to any place where someone will look at me and tell me to speak English, where they're gonna tell me to go back to Mexico. Where
same thing is that we live and call him boy, but they can say that to us.
Yeah, but they don't. That's the thing. Like, we live in a diverse enough place. They can think it all they want.
They can think it all they want, but they ain't getting ready to say
that. We live in a diverse enough place where most of the time they're not going to come out of pocket. Like, some of them have gotten a little emboldened, but most of them remember where they live.
Most of them realize that they definitely don't need those kind of things and issues in their life. And I like it that way. And that's where, when we talk about traveling while Black, I want to go everywhere where that's okay. Like, I need that to be the general consensus, that even though I might walk in and look different, you went, like, New Orleans, yes, we walked in with masks, but New Orleans, in general, I've not experienced any of that craziness down there, because it is a still.
Yeah.
Or even the white people, even everyone down there, it's like, still, it's something different. That's what I love about the South, because there's this thing about it. But like, I still haven't gone to Texas. I want to, but like I said, there's just so many places that
I want to go to San Antonio. I would love to go to Dallas, but
I don't want to go to
the moment someone looks at me and tells me to go back to Mexico, I'm going to.
Stay away from El Paso.
Clearly.
Stay away from any place with the line. See, and that's the thing. I just can't go anywhere where someone might say something to me and then I'm gonna end up on the fucking news, because we don't have. Me and you were raised in the city. We don't have country
niceties. Yeah.
Don't have that. My dad has it. And that's why I say, when I went down there with my dad and my cousins who grew up there, like even my brother lived down there for a while. So they are familiar with like the tones and these undertones and feelings. Me, I don't have that. I'm gonna get myself hurt. Because someone going to say something to me and I'm going to curse them out. And now here we go.
I remember when, like, I think it was Arizona at the time passed the law where they could like randomly
stop
check your ID.
Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't, and like question your status, if they didn't feel like you looked
if you belong.
And I was like, oh, okay, I can never go to Arizona because I'm just going to be like, oh, I'm going to sue you for racial profiling. That's what I was going to be like. Like, you're going to ask me for my status and... I'm like, you're dumb because I'm an American. Like, on what basis? What basis do you think, like, sir, that I
just
not want
you
to,
like, just show me your I promise you, like, that's what I'm like. I can't go anywhere where I feel like that may happen. Like, exactly. That's one of those things where it's like, and now we have a news report that happened coming straight out of Arizona. Black, and I'm definitely going, I'm gonna fulfill some stereotypes that day. That's all I know, is that the day that someone turns and says, because the one thing about everything that we're talking about is, even though my dad grew up in the deep South, my mom and her family, my mom grew up in DC, but my grandmother is from North Carolina.
They left for a reason, y'all.
My grandmother said she had to walk. She was getting out of North Carolina. Okay. She said, if I had to walk, I was getting out of North Carolina. She got out of North Carolina. And I think that that's the thing. I grew up, and yes, did I experience some discrimination? Yes. Prejudice? Yes. Have I experienced racial profiling?
Of course. Like that?
Absolutely. But have I experienced deep South, down South, blatant racism?
That's a whole different.
No.
That's a whole different.
I have not. My dad has. My
Your dad, dad has been called boy.
My dad can has thank you. My dad has been called boy and has literally hates dogs. And I understand why, because when you grow up down south and during the civil rights movement,
yeah,
I guess you don't like dogs. I'm sorry, I keep forgetting. I had a dog. I didn't understand why he was so upset that we had a dog until I sat down and thought about it. And my dad is old as shit, and he definitely has experienced that like homegrown racism that. But that's what it is. Like when we sit down and think about traveling, I don't have to make that many considerations because at the end of the day, we have made some progress and I have not ever experienced something that has made me pause. I've never experienced something that made me pause.
So me either. But I also think kind of just to like kind of close up a little bit, I think more people in our generation are traveling. And so now it's not as uncommon to go to some of these places and for these people to see, especially when you're talking about outside of the States, for these people to see people that look like us. It's becoming more and more common. So we're not getting stared at as much.
Yes.
Like there are travel blogs like solely run dedicated to traveling while Black and brown and all the things that you can experience. And like where to stay or what to look out for or like, and that's what kind of just, it goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning. Like, especially when you're traveling out of the country, be aware of how other countries view not only people that look like us, but Americans. Like, because a lot of countries do not like Americans.
No.
Because we're rude as fuck when we go overseas and we think that everybody should speak English and we don't want to learn nothing.
We think everyone should speak English and just automatically cater to
don't
us.
Don't be like that, y'all. Like, don't be like that. Don't. Learn a couple of words.
I was going to say, learn some words and also learn the customs because, like, you know, that's the same thing with like going to, I remember my favorite thing to learn in my whole international studies program in high school was all of the cultural faux pas.
Yeah.
All of the ways that would like, if you reach your left hand out, or the things about left hand, or if you, you know, using chopsticks and the proper way to use them, things like that, that I was like,
We were looking at stuff like that going to Thailand. It's like, you know, you can't insult the king there because you will get thrown in Thailand jail. Like people there smile a lot, like, you know, so be friendly, smile. You know, we always walk around with resting bitch face and like every day at like 12 or something like that, they play or chimes sound or something like that. And it's to honor the king. And so like, just stop and kind of be quiet because that's what everybody's doing. And it's just like a sign of showing respect.
It's just a matter of knowing where you're going. Like, that's a good thing to do. So like, that's the other thing. A lot of times, like, we do some research, like while we're doing your research on where to go and like what kind of places, like, you know, because you said there was someone who does like demographics and looks up like what the demographics are, but also look up customs and look up I always look up traditional foods. I look up like foods, areas. I look up the demographics. I also, if there are any things, because I like that nowadays we do have something that will tell you, hey, don't do this. Because I will say there's a lot of stuff that I'm like, I need to not get thrown in jail either.
Yeah. You don't want to do that in other places. Because again, more so than our color, they know that we're American.
And that's the thing that I think a lot of people like. Also, now that's one thing that I will say. Now, not traveling while Black exactly, but when I went to Costa Rica, the fact that we're American, traveling while Black American was definitely something, because they really, like, in places, that's why you need to learn a few words and learn what you're doing, because they will take advantage.
They'll charge you more.
Trafficking is still real.
Trafficking is a very real thing.
So like, depending on where you go, like when we went to Costa Rica, I definitely knew how to say, I don't know how to do it anymore, but I knew how to get myself from where we like had our big drop off at all the way to my house. And I knew how to walk there, and I knew how to direct us there. Hey, left, right, up, down. I knew how to stop, slow down, right here. Thank you. I knew how to direct. I had to come in sounding like I knew what the fuck I was saying.
Yeah, because if you don't, they take advantage of you.
Yeah,
they
and it was just like, take advantage of you. Like, my friends was like, they were like, I was like, I got it, y'all. See, y'all getting ready to get us fucked up. I don't do not well with like I'm sitting
not
here
going
like
to Mexican jail. I'm not going to like Costa Rica
I was
jail.
Sitting there like, no, it's like, I'm like, they're sitting there like, and I said, oh, y'all getting ready to get us fucked up. I just said, like, speak definitively.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I will say. Like, even when my husband and I travel, with him still being this 6'3" tall black man, I'm always like, okay, this is a map. This is how we get to where we're going. Like, we need to make sure, like, we're not being taken someplace that we don't know where we're going. Yeah. Like, we have to be able to ask the questions. So, like, just always be prepared. Just do your research, learn some words, research the customs, and have fun. Travel.
Yeah, at the end of the day,
travel. Don't let any of that stop you from traveling.
Don't let things stop you from traveling. Just be aware, but have your fun and enjoy. Yes.
Have your fun. So we want to hear about your experiences of traveling while black and brown. As always, you can let us know on Instagram, where I'm sure there's a conversation going on right now. So make sure that you drop us a comment in the Instagram, or you can email us at hello@spillandsippodcast.com. We are available on all of your major podcast platforms. I now have to change what I say, Sheree, because Apple Podcasts changed their stuff.
Yeah, they did.
So you don't have to subscribe to us anymore, because that means something different. But make sure that you follow us on any of your favorite podcast platforms, and the rating and the reviewing is really what helps us, because it helps other people find the show. We love having these conversations, and of course we want more people to hear these conversations that we're having. If you want to see our faces and all of the weird ways that we look at each other while we're recording, you can join our Sip Squad at patreon.com/swirlandsippodcast. It's been a while since I did my spiel, so I think that's everything.
Yeah,
I think so. So if that means that this is the part where I say, make sure you have your wine glasses ready for next week's episode.
Bye.